We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day. Welcome, Bill Michaels Show. We are on the air. We are glad you are on board today. As always, this portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Cannot wait for summer to get here. The night's out at Wednesday Night Live at the Budweiser Pavilion at Wisconsin State Fair Park, or just a lot of the festivals that they participate in. Bud Light will be everywhere. Make sure you make it a safe summer and do it with Bud Light. Time now to talk some Packers football. Andy Herman from Packaday Podcast, the Cheesehead TV, also co-host of the Green Bay Nation on WFRV-TV in Green Bay, joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Andy, how you doing?
Hey, Bill. Thanks so much for having me. I'm doing great. I'm
absolutely
excited to talk some Packers.
I am interested in the numbers that were put out originally of only $5 million left versus $13 million that's now available, and as to what people were thinking when... It was reported early on that the Packers have like $50 million, and I kept saying, well, wait a minute. When you start to take in some of these contracts and the escalation of contracts, it looks to be more like $35 million, which is kind of what it turned out to be. But then they went on a little bit of a spending spree. We saw them buy some players, but really, I mean, there's not a whole lot of room left to go out and get additional free agents, correct?
No, their spending spree that they went on, you know, they went on early and they went on often, and there's not a whole lot left, as you mentioned. So they did not front-load deals like a lot of people had reported originally, that they front-loaded a bunch of these deals, which would give them space in the future. They did not do that. All four of these deals had a very common convention in the fact that they had a very low cap number in year one, a significantly higher cap number in year two, and then basically two kind of option years in year three and year four, depending on how much they want to pay sort of to get out of those. So they spent a significant amount of money, and as you mentioned, they did not leave themselves a ton of cap room without doing some cap gymnastics over the course of the next couple of years.
So what, I guess, where is this team overall, do you think, right now?
So right now, I mean, I think they did a really great job of addressing some of their major concerns. So they addressed the edge rusher, they addressed safety, they potentially addressed right guard with Billy Turner. It'll be interesting to see if he was more of a depth signing or somebody that's significantly going to play and start at right guard. I think that'll be determined in camp. But they addressed some of those major, major weaknesses on the team. It's certainly not a complete roster by any stretch of the imagination. We saw yesterday Bashaud Breeland left. There's still some questions in the secondary. You're certainly right now banking on, of course, Kevin King being healthy, Jair Alexander repeating his rookie success, and Josh Jackson really bouncing back from a difficult rookie season a year ago, kind of having that second-year jump. You know, the linebacker room is pretty bare, especially at inside linebacker. You've basically got Blake Martinez and Oren Burks, and then the cupboard's kind of empty after that. And then on the offensive line, you know, they addressed Billy Turner, but, you know, Brian Bulaga has not shown the ability to consistently stay healthy throughout the course of the season. You know, Corey Linsley and David Bakhtiari, very, very good players, that goes without saying. But we don't know for sure if they've addressed right guard, and Wayne Taylor was up and down from a season ago as well. So there are holes on this team, and that doesn't even, you know, say tight end, which, you know, the Jimmy Graham is there, but all of their tight ends are basically on one-year deals at this point. So when you start looking ahead, you know, Jimmy Graham, I know, is on two, but they're probably going to look to potentially get out of that contract next year. They need a tight end long-term as well.
So, you know, you start reeling off all the positions that they're thin at. I still think, you know, when it comes to the draft, there's any need on defense they can go after. You can throw a dart at a dartboard and say you need depth issues there. I just think, offensively speaking, you probably have a tight end situation, maybe some additional offensive line play for that right side specifically, and maybe even for the left tackle. God forbid David Bakhtiari ever go down with an injury. But you certainly could maybe add some depth issues on offense. But for the most part, I would expect this to be a defensive-heavy draft.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And it certainly seems that that's the position that they want to attack overall. You know, obviously picking up Za'Darius and Adrian Amos and Preston Smith, that's a position that they're constantly attacking. I just touched base on, you know, some of those questions at inside linebacker and in the secondary. But Mike Daniels is, you know, on a contract year. He's not necessarily back a season from now. So if an Ed Oliver is staring at you at pick 12, that's certainly not something that you could easily ignore. And then, you know, those two big Devins at the inside linebacker position, whether it be a Devin Bush or Devin White, you know, if they have the opportunity to pick one of those, certainly if Devin Bush were to be there at 30, you would think that they would take a look heavily at that as well. So I agree with you. I think it's going to be a defensive draft, and hopefully they can really put together a top 10 defense with all these new weapons that Mike Pettine would have at his disposal.
I look at this team and I'm not quite sure what to make of it. Outside people in the NFL, when we talk to people at Super Bowl, said, well, it's going to take a few years for this thing to get back. Others say, look, you get a couple of good moves, a couple of decent draft picks that hit. Aaron Rodgers comes in and has this great year, this great season, attitude, whatever you want to make it out to be. All of a sudden, they're back in the postseason. How do you see this thing going into 2019?
Yeah, I think the most interesting aspect of all the different moves and all the different things that they've done this offseason, from new head coach to new coaching staff to three top 50 picks to free agents, everything really kind of comes down to how Aaron Rodgers meshes in this offense and just how much he can carry this team going forward. And, of course, the goal is that he doesn't have to carry all of that weight, but if he's Aaron Rodgers from a few years ago, where you can pretty much put so much of him on the offense, and then, again, as we discussed, they add all these weapons on defense, yeah, the turnaround can probably be pretty quick. But if the Aaron Rodgers we saw last year, which I'm not trying to say is a bad Aaron Rodgers by any stretch of the imagination, but if the Aaron Rodgers from last year is the same that we see this year, you know, it's not like he's just automatically carrying this team into the NFC Championship. So there's work to be done. How he kind of, quote-unquote, bounces back from that injury a season ago, how he meshes with Matt LaFleur in this offense, that to me is still the single 1A most important aspect to keep an eye on throughout training camp and throughout preseason and going into week one of the regular season.
Matt LaFleur is kind of the unknown entity here, and we don't know what that relationship technically is with him and Aaron Rodgers. Do you get any signs as to... You know, I don't know if there's papal smoke coming out of 1265, but, you know, I mean, I don't know what to make it out to be. He's been pretty firm. Some of the things he said when we were at listening from the Combine and listening down at Super Bowl were basically, look, Aaron's going to be a part of the process, but this is what we're going to do, and there's not a lot of options to get out of it. So it sounded like he was almost putting his fist down saying, well, the quarterback's going to have a big say in this, but once we say what we say, that's it.
And, you know, I think he has to come out at least starting that way. And I'm sure there's going to be a level of flexibility that he's going to have with Aaron Rodgers. I think the biggest thing that it seemed to me that came out of this entire process that was very apparent from Mark Murphy's initial interaction with the media after he hired Coach LaFleur is that they really wanted somebody that was going to be able to come in and work very well with Aaron Rodgers. And certainly if you look at Matt LaFleur, maybe the biggest thing that he has on his resume going for him, other than, you know, the meme of knowing Sean McVay, is, of course, the fact that he's been successful with the quarterbacks wherever he has gone, whether that's been in college, whether that's been with Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, RG3. The list kind of goes on and on. And even Marcus Mariota, who certainly wasn't breaking any records, if you kind of look back at some of the major statistics, I mean, he made a major jump last year from a passer rating standpoint. And every quarterback to a T that he's worked with has given him praise, you know, for how they've worked with him. So I think it's a really positive sign. I think from that perspective, it was a great hire. But yeah, it's certainly something that's going to be intriguing to keep an eye on.
You mentioned Kevin King. He's a guy they're relying on, but he's also a guy that's banged up quite a bit. Look, if he and Jair Alexander can stay healthy and really mature, I think you got a terrific secondary back there when it comes to the cornerback play. And you move Josh Jackson into a slot, which is where he's better because he doesn't have turn-and-go speed. Then all of a sudden you're looking at a really solid defensive backfield. But if Kevin King gets injured and you have a safety go down, you're really, man, you're thin back there. This defense, for what Mike Pettine was able to do last year, I'm still amazed that they had as many sacks as they did and they were as decent as I thought they were and where they ranked. I'm anxious to see what Mike Pettine can dial up, but I'm anxious to see what he can dial up with a healthy unit, because if it doesn't remain healthy, I don't know what you got.
Yeah, I will say a couple things. I think the additions of Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith and maybe or hopefully another top-end pressure player, whether it be an Ed Oliver or Brian Burns potentially early in the draft, I think that pressure is going to help that secondary regardless of who's back there. he had a lot of creative pressure plays that he was able to put on. But if you can get there with four, you know, or your five instead of six or seven, it's going to make the defensive backfield's job a heck of a lot easier. So I think that could help a lot. And then, you know, two under-the-radar guys to keep an eye on. And I think most Packer fans know these names already, but Tony Brown is somebody that stood out to me. And I'm not saying count on these guys, but they're intriguing to me. And the other one would be Raven Green. I actually had Tim Boyle on the podcast about a week ago, and I asked him, who's an under-the-radar guy that you could potentially take a look at as a guy who could really jump out and stand out in 2019? And without hesitation, he said Raven Green. So those are two guys I would keep an eye on as depth pieces that maybe could step in if some of those injuries to a Kevin King or to a Tremont Williams or an Adrian Amos would hit.
Talking with Andy Herman of Packaday Podcast, Cheesehead TV, and co-host of the Green Bay Nation on WFRV-TV in Green Bay. One of the other guys last year that was getting a lot of inside praise was Lancaster on the defensive front. Do you see him being a cog in this thing and getting better this upcoming season?
Absolutely. So a couple things with Tyler Lancaster. I think he was so impressive coming in as an undrafted free agent and getting in midway through the season and really having an impact. You don't want him as a three-down defensive lineman in any way, shape, or form. But to be able to come in on early downs and be a run stuffer, absolutely he can play that part. And he can play that part very, very well. You know, Mike Daniels and Kenny Clark, you're going to want in the majority of the time. But if he can come in and be that run guy and kind of save, especially a Mike Daniels for pass rush situations to kind of team with Za'Darius Smith from the inside, I think that's a really great role for him. The one thing I will say about him is he struggled with balance and staying on his feet. He was on the ground a ton last year. If he can fix that one major issue, he could become a very, very stout run defender for Green Bay next year.
Good stuff, and we'll keep in touch. Andy, I certainly appreciate you making an appearance on the program, okay?
Appreciate you having me. Have a good one.
All right, pal. Talk to you soon. Andy Herman, Packaday Podcast, Cheesehead TV, and also co-host of the Green Bay Nation on WFRV-TV in Green Bay, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. Been doing it for 80-plus years. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com. Cousin Subs, they've been doing it the right way for a long time, 45-plus years. They've been putting it together for you, whether it's hot off the grill or maybe for big gatherings. Either way, they got you covered. All you got to do is go to cousinsubs.com. That's where they believe in better. They have the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, cousinsubs.com. And even in some areas now, they have delivery. This week is delivery, delivery free charge, I believe. I got that in an email a little while ago. But check it out. Go to cousinsubs.com, see what they have to offer. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show continues on, and somebody out there is really disappointed. I mean, there are fans of the NBA and people that were looking forward to tonight's game between Giannis and LeBron. And if you're just tuning us in, neither are playing tonight. So tickets are plummeting. But somebody out, who was it, Darren Revelle, Joe? That said it?
Darren Revelle had tweeted that someone paid over $6,900 on StubHub, including fees, for two courtside seats for the Lakers-Bucks game tonight.
$6,900.
I would never pay that for anything in my life, unless I became a millionaire.
I don't know. Man, that's just, I can't think of many things I'd pay $6,900 for.
I wouldn't pay it to go to the finals. I wouldn't pay it to go to the World Series. I wouldn't pay it to go to the Super Bowl. That is too much money. I'm sorry it is.
That's crazy. I would never spend that on a ticket, but somebody did. It's probably somebody from L.A. Somebody that has that kind of money to spend, obviously. But somebody was coming to Milwaukee in anticipation of seeing LeBron and Giannis match up tonight at the brand new sparkling Fiserv Forum. And somebody's going to be massively disappointed. This is the reason I get it. Matchups are matchups. Remember when the tickets down at Cameron Indoor Stadium were between North Carolina and Duke were going for that amount of money. You know, I mean, more money than what Super Bowl tickets were going for because they wanted to see Zion Williamson against North Carolina, you know, and then he blows out his shoe and his knee, you know, about 5 minutes into the game. But, man, oh, man, you talk about disappointment. I've always said buy the ticket for the game, not for the players. I understand there's a certain amount of star power there, but this is the risk you run, and now you're going to complain. I can't believe they're sitting out. LeBron's tanking it, and Giannis is, you know, he's in a back-to-back. He's going to save his knees. Why save? You know, look, it is what it is. $6,900 to see tonight's game with two of the game's biggest stars not playing in it. Man, the only time that you're almost going to guarantee that players of that magnitude are going to play is usually in the postseason. Beyond that, no. Not going to do it. Wouldn't do that. But live and learn, I guess, right? Live and learn. But like I said before, the person that spent that kind of money probably has that kind of money to spend. I don't think it's some fan who just gave their last three mortgage payments, at least I hope not, to see Giannis and LeBron square off. I mean, you can always resell them and get some of your money back, but, you know, there you have it. I mean, my son just let me know that his friends want to go to the Houston game next week. So, because they were, I told you I'd bought tickets for tonight, and he said, you know, hey, Dad, I'm going to take two of them, but can I sell the other two? So now I got two tickets I'm going to get rid of, you know. So, okay. You know, it is what it is. 855-830-8648. Bucks fans, we were talking earlier about the Fiserv form, and I have not had anyone. Now, this goes back to the conversation I was listening to yesterday. I have not had anyone tell me as a Bucks fan, other than one guy that emailed, that they were bored with Bucks basketball. I think everybody that may have called in, that may have said that they were bored, may have kind of rethought it. And it's not that they're bored. It's just that maybe they're more so anticipating the postseason. Okay, I understand that. The Bucks haven't necessarily played great as of late, 6-4 in their last 10, and they're 4-4 in their last 8. Okay, I understand that. You're not really fighting, you know, it's not game by game, you and Toronto, Toronto and you, back and forth, best record in the NBA, that type of thing. You're not going for a record overall. So I haven't really received anybody now to say that they're bored. What I have received is a lot of, well, recently the Bucks haven't given us a ton to cheer about. That game against the 76ers, they were just seeming out of it ridiculously early, whatever. But nobody has conceded that for all the people that were calling the afternoon show locally in Milwaukee yesterday that they're bored with Bucks basketball. I mean, other than fans that just don't like, you know, the NBA. Okay, so be it. 855-830-8648. Hey, Bill, did you see the playoff ticket prices? They're outrageous. That's from C. Ryan hitting us up on Twitter at Bill_Michaels. I didn't. What are the ticket prices for the playoffs? I figure $150, $200, somewhere like that, depending on what seat you're getting. $150, $200. Hey, look, the average fan's not going to the game. You know, you may go to a game, okay, but you're not going to all the games. I can see you going to a game, maybe two. If you're buying your own seat, hey, $300, okay, I'll buy a couple of games. Will that get me a couple of games? I don't think so. Not after service fees and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. Let's go to Roger, listening to us in Cudahy. Roger, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Good afternoon, Bill. Just a little different observation from what I see with a lot of Bucks fans, kind of looking ahead more than what the Bucks have accomplished in your comments. I'm concerned that some of this, I say comfortability, being bored, or I'm fearful that too many are focusing on the Bucks maintaining their number one position as opposed to improving. Now, you hope that's you're talking about the same thing there, but what I'm concerned is just because Toronto falls back, you may have a team like Philadelphia and possibly one other team that is steadily improving and on a hot streak going into the playoffs. I just think some of this complacency, being bored, comes with focusing too much on that number one position as opposed to them improving as a team. And from that aspect, we have some concerns.
I appreciate the phone call, Roger. I mean, you got to, if you're going to remain the number one team overall with the number one team with the number one record, I mean, you've got to continue to improve, I think, because you're continuously wanting to beat teams, thus getting better. I think right now you've got Giannis is got the ailing knees, and which is somewhat bothersome. You've got Malcolm Brogdon, who's gone down. You bring in a new player in Pau Gasol and Mirotić, and you've worked those guys into the lineup. And, you know, so I look, you've had a lot of moving parts that Budenholzer has kind of had to wrap his arms around. I think he's done a pretty good job. I am a little concerned that the 4-4 mark over the last eight games, you want to see that trend go upward. Tonight's a good start. You get a good win over the Lakers. You get a back-to-back win over Cleveland, and you kind of say, okay, maybe where the trend was at 500, things are starting to rise back up again. But to me, right now, it's about keeping the best record in the East. It's about getting home court advantage throughout because the Fiserv form has been so good to the Milwaukee Bucks. And I'm really interested to see how the fan base, as we go down the stretch here and into the postseason, really reacts to all of this. And then, to me, it is going to be the 800-pound elephant that sits on your shoulder until you get that first-round playoff win. Once you get that, then all bets are off. Then you're off and running. You can do whatever. Whatever matchups you have, wherever life takes you after that, you got something going on. Let's go to Rob listening to us in Waukesha. Rob, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, Bill. Hey, I just wanted to weigh in on Sunday's game first and then playoff ticket price.
Yeah.
I was there on Sunday. I'm a season ticket holder. It's my fifth season, you know, first in the forum. So, you know, it was loud in there, as loud as it's been all season. I mean, the crowd was standing at the right times. I didn't hear the national broadcast or what was said, but the fact is the Bucks didn't give the fans a whole ton to cheer about. Every time they had an opportunity to make a big shot to pull within, you know, 5 points, it was Brick City. And then Embiid just kept throwing daggers in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, I thought the crowd was good compared to other crowds this year. And I didn't have a problem with it at all.
All right,
and then,
cool.
Yeah, playoff ticket prices, I mean, for a season ticket holder, they're the same price for the first round as your regular season ticket. So I don't know what they're doing with single-game playoffs, but I couldn't even buy extra tickets myself as a season ticket holder. They were all gone and sold already. So
yeah,
if the prices are high for playoff tickets, it's just a function of the secondary market.
Okay. Well, that's appreciate the phone call. That's – as far as what I know, I mean, that's all I know right now. I haven't seen total prices. I've got a couple of people saying, C. Ryan says 180. That's in the last row in the lower level, 180 a ticket. I have not seen that. I'll have to check, but that's, I guess, a lower level. That's about right, I guess. I don't know what courtside is and all that kind of stuff, but I would assume the lower level, that's probably about right. 855-830-8648. Let's do this. Mike DeCourcy, terrific writer for the Sporting News, Big Ten Network analyst. We had a chance to chat with him a little bit earlier today about the NCAA tournament, which is upcoming, both the Badgers and Marquette in the tournament. You're going to hear that conversation coming up. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Neumel Medical. Treating guys with ED, a 98% success rate all throughout the state, all beyond the borders, location in Milwaukee and in Green Bay. Don't forget, they do some low-T treatments as well. If you're sluggish, moody, brain fog, don't have a lot of energy, stamina, not sleeping real well at night, they can help you out with that. Just going to get your numbers checked. And in addition to that, as we start to get warmer, we're going to be in the mid-50s over the weekend, T-shirt weather, we all know, right around the corner. You want to look good. You want to feel good. Maybe the new you is right underneath there. You just got to find them again. Go to Neumel Medical for the all-in-one weight loss program. Just start it right now. Call them 414-455-4451. 414-455-4451. It's the Neumel Medical Center. Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News and the Big Ten Network analyst. Going to talk some NCAA college tournament basketball. Coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show's on the air here, friends of the Wisconsin Biofuels Association, reminding you, just like I do, that E85, the unleaded 88, yeah, that's right. You got that flex fuel vehicle out there. You know what it is. Look for that green mark on the back of the vehicle. Stop in and fill up. You're supporting Wisconsin farmers. Hey, by the way, it burns cleaner. It saves the environment. It keeps jobs, Wisconsin farmers, Wisconsin corn growers, those that work at the ethanol plants, seven of them right here in the state of Wisconsin. It keeps them all going, okay? All the money stays right here in the state. You know what I'm saying? But it also is green. It's a green product and saves a lot of emissions as well. So there's a lot of reasons to check out wibiofuels.org. That's wibiofuels.org. Check it out for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. You've been listening to me talk about this for some time now, and I want to dispel a lot of the myths that are out there. So I get people that write or email me every day about stuff like this, and I just keep saying, hey, go look at the facts. Check out the facts, and then let me know what you think. Go to wibiofuels.org. That's wibiofuels.org. And when you're at the pump, whether it's Quick Trip or Jets or anybody else for that matter, look for the unleaded 88 or look for the E85. It's all right there. Just try it. I'm not kidding. Just try it. Earlier today, Mike DeCourcy, terrific writer for the Sporting News, longtime guy that covers college basketball, works for the Big Ten Network as well. He joined us a little earlier, and we started out talking because obviously we got both Marquette and Wisconsin in the big dance. And Wisconsin, we started out with because, you know, obviously he covered him in the Big Ten, and Wisconsin has been kind of goofy. I mean, they'll start out really slow. They expel a lot of energy coming back. They, you know, as long as they don't have to rely on free throws down the stretch, they've been pretty good. They've gotten more than a few wins. It's been a good season, but how good of a season can they make a big time run in this tournament? We asked Mike just that.
Well, you know, I thought coming in a month ago that they were in really good shape to do that. I haven't liked the way they've shot the ball in certain circumstances of late, but what bothers me more than anything about the matchup is the guy on the other bench. Not that Greg Gard isn't terrific. I mean, the point is that what Wisconsin does is unusual, uncommon, atypical for the NCAA tournament bracket. They're probably the only team that plays like them on the bracket. And it really helped to have just a guy on the other bench. And instead you have somebody who's really good and a team that's not really very consistent and has holes, but that is dynamic and big and can block shots and has a veteran point guard in Peyton Pritchard. And I don't like the matchup. I mean, for a 12 seed, you want Liberty, man. You got that. You know, it's a good, solid mid-major team, but that's what you want. You want to play them. You don't want to have to play a high-major team that's got a lottery pick on it with a Final Four coach. So the Badgers could have done a lot better, not by what they did, but just by the luck of the draw. They did not get done any favors there.
We all know Ethan Happ is kind of the straw that stirs the drink, but for this team to win, what else needs to happen? It can't just be Happ, you know, trying to get them out to a bigger lead so they don't have to shoot free throws down the stretch.
Well, I think it starts with how the other team defends them. And a lot of teams, because Happ is such a fearsome offensive player, will choose to double-team him. And I don't know whether Dana will do that or not based on what we saw Saturday with Michigan State playing him straight up and Wisconsin being very ineffective against that. But if they do play him straight up, then Happ's got to dominate. I mean, he did not dominate on Saturday. He was fine. He was 10 of 20 from the field. Michigan State's whole game plan was built on making Ethan Happ fine. taking him from potentially dominant in a one-on-one matchup and saying, if he's not dominant, we can win. And so if he gets into a matchup where he's singled up, then he has to dominate. He has to be extraordinary. I mean, he's got to go 15 of 20, and he's capable of doing that. He can't just – there are times when if Ethan's singled up and the other team – the other guy isn't backing down, sometimes Ethan will get frustrated and just try to make a play. And that's when he winds up 10 of 20. And if he doesn't – you know, if he doesn't get frustrated and he stays patient, then he may not get 20 shots, but he's not going to miss 10. So – that's what he's got to do. He's got to, if he's in a one-on-one matchup, he has to dominate it. And that may be 12 of 14 rather than 10 of 20. But he's got to be patient. He can't just settle for missed shots because that's their offense isn't set up for them to get the rebound if it doesn't go. And there's nobody usually in the neighborhood for them to collect an offensive rebound. So it's a miss or they either makes it or they're on defense. And if they double him, then Trice and Davison have to make shots. And at times they haven't, and at times they have. And those are the times that Wisconsin is, for a lot of people, nearly unbeatable.
Kobe King came into this season with such high hopes after getting injured last year, rehabbing, and then coming back. And obviously a lot of eyes coming out of the state of Wisconsin on him to see if he could excel. What has or hasn't allowed him to excel the way people thought he would?
You know, I think some of it's opportunity, some of it's the way they play. I mean, what I mean by that is where does the game get tilted toward? How do people defend Kobe? How do opportunities develop for him? I mean, we've seen Khalil Iverson really come on, and I think some of that's affected Kobe because, you know, Trice and Davison aren't going anywhere. They're the ball handlers. Trice runs the show. Davison's one of your key defensive players. So then there's only so many positions left after those two and a half. And so with Iverson coming along so well, some of Kobe's opportunities have diminished. You've got the Reavers-Ford combination taking up most of the power forward minutes. With Iverson sliding over there to make the team a little bit more dynamic at times. And so there's maybe not been a slot for Kobe to always get into. I think there'll be more room for him a year from now when Reavers probably becomes the post, and then there's a little bit more room at that third perimeter spot for Kobe to do some damage.
Talking with Mike DeCourcy, the Sporting News and Big Ten Network analyst. Now we move over to Marquette, who's got Murray State first out of the shoot. We all know Marcus Howard's got a little bit of an ailing wrist, but he's kind of the straw that stirs the drink. But the Housers are going to have to pick it up. Everybody's going to have to pick it up if in any way, shape, or form Marcus Howard isn't hitting.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting, really compelling matchup between Marcus and Ja Morant, who is one of the best pro prospects in college basketball. And, you know, obviously Marcus has had a phenomenal year and it not really tailed off that much, but the team has. I mean, he's continued to rack up points and in a lot of circumstances has been really effective. But as a team, they just have not been able to hold up lately. It's been really surprising to see how that's gone. The Creighton game, I think, was really important to play a team like that at home and not get a result that you want. I think that really fueled some difficult circumstances for them. Losing at Villanova, most teams in the country are going to lose at Villanova. But then when they dropped the home game to Creighton, then I think it really started to get kind of tough for them. And it has, you know, they were able to in the Big East tournament to do a great number on St. John's, and then of course with him having problems with the wrist, Marcus having problems with the wrist, did not have a good game against Seton Hall at all. For them to only lose by a bucket in a very odd game while he's shooting 1 of 15 was probably not that bad a result. But I do wonder how well they'll do against a team that has a player like Morant if they can't get a lot out of Marcus. I'm not sure where the game tilts toward Marquette if Morant is badly out-dueling Marcus.
And we know that Murray State, still one of the top three defending teams in the country. I think they're in the top 10 when it comes to defending beyond the arc. So as far as shooting the basketball goes, yeah, it's going to be kind of tough for Marquette. They need to get into a rhythm early. I did want to ask you about some of the favorites. Obviously, Duke coming in with Zion Williamson, committed to play. He seems to be completely healthy. Is Duke by far the favorite, or is it Duke and then just a few others that are kind of nipping at their heels?
You know, I think Duke is a pretty clear favorite because of what they've been able to accomplish when they've been relatively whole. With Zion and Trey Jones on the floor, they're 24 and 1. When these guys have gone the full game and not left injured, I mean, Zion left once injured, twice injured. Also, the Florida State game only played half. Trey missed 34 minutes, I think, against Syracuse with a shoulder problem. And so when they haven't been all out there, they've been beatable. But with everybody intact, now I know Marquise Bolden is part of that. I'm not sure that he's indispensable. I would say that Trey and Zion are. Bolden makes them better. Those two make them great. And if they're not able to play, which there's no indication now that what I'm saying is, when they're not out there, then they have problems. Without Bolden, I think they can survive and still be a Final Four national champion type team.
I wanted to ask you about Michigan State. A lot of Big Ten tournaments made this, and in my opinion, Big Ten coming into this thing, one of the strongest conferences in college basketball there this year. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. It's not really an opinion. I mean, the numbers are there to support it. They were the best conference in college basketball, especially 1-14. You know, they don't have the number of high-end teams that the ACC does. ACC has three number ones. ACC has two teams on the four line that are both very dangerous. Big Ten doesn't have that. But part of the reason the Big Ten doesn't have that is because Illinois and Rutgers and Indiana and Ohio State and Penn State, I mean, those teams weren't out there, you know, just playing tomato can for everybody else the way the bottom teams in the ACC did this year. And that makes a difference in how you get seeded and how you're viewed. People say, oh, the ACC is the best conference. Look, they have three number one seeds. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain that's losing 25 games. You know,
that's
kind of how people judge conferences. I judge a conference on, look, you got 15 members, they all count. You got 14, they all count. How many of them can play? And in the Big E, in the ACC, the answer was, oh, about six of them, seven of them can play, maybe eight. And then beyond that, you don't want to look. And in the Big Ten, it was 14 can play. They got 14 members. They can all play. And that changed the way this season developed for everyone involved.
There you go. Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been going to get done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Going to wrap things up when we come back right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Bill Michaels Show on the air. A couple minutes before we get out of here, I want to say thanks to some of our great sponsors that took us down to spring training. Brooke and Pat and everybody over at Signature Limo. They are a terrific, terrific ground transportation company here in the city of Milwaukee in the state of Wisconsin. Big enough to know your name, or big enough to handle your every need, small enough to know your name and say hi to you and all that kind of good stuff. And they get you everywhere you need to go. Safe, sound. That is our friends over at Signature Limousine. Call them or book them at booksignature.com. That's booksignature.com. Also, got to say hi to our great friends at Skipper Buds. They got a big spring cleanup sale going on right now. And if you're interested in getting your boat summerized, they're offering a big special on that right now. And the weather's starting to warm up. It doesn't look like it's going to start freezing hardcore anytime soon. So start thinking about the summer months and getting yourself out to a Skipper Buds. Skipper Buds, they get it done. Go to skipperbuds.com. That is skipperbuds.com. Talk to Todd out there about getting a great deal on a new or used boat as well. He's a general manager out there. He can get the deal done for you. Also, our friends at San Giorgio, Gino and the whole staff, They do such a great job with the pizzas and everything down there at the San Giorgio Napoletana Pizzeria. They got so much more down there. A lot of great foods and appetizers. They pair it up with Cider Boys from Point Brewing. That Cider Boys beer, that is so, so good. All you got to do is check them out by going to San Giorgio down there at Old World 3rd Street in Kilbourne, right there next to the Calderon Club, which, by the way, is the best Italian food you're ever going to have. But San Giorgio, fantastic place. Stop in and tell Gino and the whole crew that we said hi. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we're going to be back at it talking more college basketball. Who's in your Final Four? Now you've had a chance, because tonight you get some play-in games. So who's in your Final Four? You've had a chance to kind of think about it, start to fill out your bracket. We're going to talk some odds with Chris Raybon of the Action Network. Also, CBS Sports college basketball analyst Len Elmore is going to be here. We're also going to look back at the Bucks and Lakers LeBron and Giannis-less game this evening. Eric Name of The Athletic will join us. Plus, we'll talk with Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, tomorrow. And the voice of Murray State Racers, Neil Bradley, is going to be joining us. Is Murray State getting ready to take on Marquette? So we got a lot going on tomorrow regarding the tournament. We'll get a lot of tournament stuff action-wise here tomorrow on the program. But thanks to everybody for being a part of the program today. We had a full list of guests today. We'll have another full list of guests again tomorrow. And should be really good. And again, thanks to all our sponsors for being a part of the program. Always, always good. Going to go out tonight. I got a speech tonight I got to do at a Masonic Lodge, picking up a check for our friends at the Fisher House, Wisconsin. Looking forward to that. And a few things around the house I'm going to get done as the weather continues to warm up. I'm geeked. You got Bucks and Lakers coming up tonight? Yeah. Head down to the Fiserv Forum after the fact. Time for us to get out of here. Have a go. See you.
Sports Talk Network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.